So my interest was piqued whenever I was listening to Daily Zeitgeist, surprising. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how Sean Penn married Val Kilmer's daughter. And wait. I was like, wait, yes. What?
Yes. Okay.
I Googled it. And that was incorrect. Sean Penn did not marry Val Kilmer's daughter.
Okay.
He married Vincent D'Onofrio's daughter.
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Who I love. Yes. But also I'm afraid of.
Her name is Leela, and she is younger than me. And Sean Penn is 60 years old. Oh. She was born in 1992.
Oh.
And they are married. And look, okay, listen, speaking as somebody who has like large age gaps in my family, like I get it, whatever, sometimes whatever works, it works. I understand. But how fucking weird would it be to be Vincent D'Onofrio and Sean Penn, someone who you've probably worked with?
Vincent D'Onofrio is younger than Sean Penn.
Let's find out.
Oh, man, I'm just thinking the same thing. He might be, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because... He was in Full Metal Jacket.
He's in his 50s, I'm betting.
Easily, yeah.
Okay, he is... Okay, so he is 61.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes, so okay. He is 1 year older than Sean Penn.
Oh! My God.
But it is just... it's just a little wild to me, okay?
Do we have pictures? I need to see her.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Well, yeah.
Let me pull her up.
I mean, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I expected it to be that way.
Vincent D'Onofrio is married to Catherine Irby, or whatever her name is, also from Criminal Intent. Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Which one?
They're like the partners on Law
No
and Order.
Way.
They're married.
No.
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, I love that.
Wait, I need to tell Chris this. I don't know if he knows.
Yeah,
oh,
she's,
my God.
She's gorgeous.
She's so pretty. She looks okay. Like she looks like the partner from... Criminal Intent.
Mm-hmm. They've been dating for a moment. Okay. So, yeah, I just thought I would throw that tidbit of information out there for you guys to nosh on.
Listen. Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody that is your age, mm-hmm. Keegan, mm-hmm. married to a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
what do you have to talk about?
Also, just like thinking through, like maybe in the moment right now, mm-hmm. at this precise moment for a couple of years, maybe it does work. You have the same
sure.
energy level,
yeah.
the same goals of, but long term.
No. I mean, and look, for some people it will. Like, honestly, saying this as like, my grandpa and my step grandma are 23 years apart,
whew.
Right? It's a big gap, but it works for them. They're very happy, and mm-hmm. I love them together. I think that they're a great couple. So it can work having a sure. big age gap like that. But I do think it takes a very specific kind of person mm-hmm. to be able.
That age gap, though, is like 33 years.
Yes, it's a lot.
Add 10 to your grandparents.
Which
age
is a
gap.
Lot. Like 10 is already, like me and Anthony are 11 years. Like
my
10
parents
is already
are
considerable.
Like 8 years. And that was like, I think, fairly significant.
My parents are like 10 years apart, and it's never been an issue until like
now.
Until
that
now,
they're older.
That they're older. Sure. Because my mom's in her 50s mm-hmm. and is still active mm-hmm. and wanting to go out and do a lot of things. My dad is in his 60s and does not.
Yeah.
Want
no,
to do
I mean,
see, now, and to be fair, like my parents, my dad's 80 and he's kind of been in this place where he doesn't like traveling as much as he used to. Also, too, he has COPD. So he's kind of a little bit more confined to not being able to travel as much. My mom full on is like, well, all right, well, I'll see ya. I'm going to Europe for a month. Bye.
Right.
She does her own, so, I mean, as long as you have a partnership in which you're capable of still living your best life
right.
that you want,
right.
it's not necessarily holding
but
you
that's,
back.
That's what I would worry
but
about.
But I would want a partner to do that with.
He's tame.
Sean Penn's daughter is older than his
you
wife by a year. She was born in 1991.
Okay, let's take it from her perspective. Your dad starts mm-hmm. dating someone who's younger than you.
Okay, so his wife is sandwiched in between his kids. So his daughter was born in 91. His wife was born in 92. And his son was born in 93.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. That is something. I mean, and again, like, I'm not saying it can't work. I'm not even saying it's wrong. I'm just saying
it's weird.
It's shocking is what.
It is. But it did lead me to something that you had sent us a while ago. Mm-hmm. You sent us a BuzzFeed article, 19 celebrities who dated people under the age of 18.
I need to know about this.
Dude, I didn't open it because I was like, okay, so how many times is Wilmer Valderrama is on there. Mm-hmm. My dude, Milo Ventimiglia.
Really?
Okay, he's on here. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's go through them.
Okay, so number one, Jerry Seinfeld and Shoshana Lonstein. They met in 1993 when he was 38 and she was 17.
No.
Someone in your 30s.
No.
I can't. Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Milo Ventimiglia was 29 when he started dating Hayden Panettiere, who was 17.
Mm-hmm. Not.
Yeah.
Not good. Oh, I remember this one. Doug Hutchinson was 51 when he married 16-year-old Courtney Stodden.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Yeah, who you don't remember people? This?
No.
Yes. So who these is? People. So it's the guy from. Wait. He was in like X-Files, mm-hmm. And a few other things. And he made.
Wait, she's how old is she?
She's 16. She doesn't look 16.
No, she does not.
No.
And I'm not saying that's okay. I'm just saying like
her mother signed off on the her parents had to like sign. No. A thing to allow them to get married.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
51 and 16.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Just talked about this kind of thing.
That is statutory rape.
Yeah. Yes. All of this is.
We're doing the Twilight thing. There's something about like the whole teenage girl's like, I'm special.
Yeah.
I'm mature.
I'm different.
Different.
I'm interesting enough that this older man who knows, who's worldly and right. knows what he wants in a relationship can find me stimulating.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so predatory.
It's terrible. Don Johnson was 22 when he started dating 14-year-old Melanie Griffith.
No way. I did not know that.
They moved in together when she was 15.
No! You guys.
Ew.
What?
Ew.
What?
14. 14 is
what?
A child.
Guys. You are a full child. You're barely perioded.
I was going to say, like, I knew girls in high school who hadn't had their period yet at 14.
Yeah.
Like, that's disgusting.
Can you?
Bill Wyman.
No, I want to go back to 14. Shook it.
Oh, sorry. No, but this is just as bad. Bill Wyman, who I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
That name sounds familiar.
But he was 47 when he started dating 14-year-old Mandy Smith. They got married
that's not
when
dating.
She was 18.
You guys, that's not dating.
Nope.
Wait, who's Bill Wyman? I need to know. I think he's a musician.
Yes, he is. He's in some band.
He is.
Oh my God.
A lot of these are musicians, you guys. Shockingly.
What? Yeah.
Oh. The Rolling Stones.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's not surprising at all. Okay, who else we got here?
You guys. 14. They were living together at 15.
Luke Besson was 31. Yeah. Whatever. I don't care about this rapist. He was 31 when he started dating 15-year-old Mywen Lebesco. They met when she was 12, and she gave birth to their daughter when she was 16.
Okay. He was married to Mila Jovovich, too.
Jesus.
She was pretty young, I think, as well. Not underage, but Jesus Christ.
Stacey Ann Ferguson, a.k.a. Fergie, was 23 when she briefly dated 16-year-old Justin Timberlake. Shut your mouth.
I'm sorry. What?
I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
That's the only woman on this list, it looks like.
I'm so sorry, but... There is no part
There's
of
There's nothing
me
a 16-year-old can bring to my game.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Thank you.
Not a
Said
fucking
perfectly.
Thing.
Yes.
No. Oh, no.
Except for maybe his, like, Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Get the fuck out of here.
Your Magic the Gathering cards.
Get the fuck out of here with your...
God.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean,
with your Neopets.
Do you remember when you used to, like, make out with, like, a teenage boy and they would, like, shake?
Do you remember
yes.
that?
What? Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
Like a chihuahua?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the shakes.
They get they got all that juice up in them all.
Oh, my God.
And they got all
nimbly pimbly.
This is the grossest conversation we've ever had.
Ew.
Yeah.
Did you
gross.
Imagine?
And I'm like, who wants that?
Not an adult.
Again. No. I did it when I was 16. No more.
I don't understand it either. I really don't get it. I don't get it from in either direction, to be honest. And I understand right. that like the female ideal is a certain, like physically is a certain age, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand that, but in a real way, like the sex with a grown-up is going to be better.
Also,
so just get a grown-up.
16-year-old Justin Timberlake was still rocking that ugh. Ramen noodle hair.
Gross.
And the fucking, yeah.
No.
Versus Justin Timberlake now? Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll have seconds.
I will. But, I love an adult version. Yes. Please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
We love an adult.
I like adults.
Wait, I'm gonna guys. Go out. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say,
"You guys, I did not know that Melanie Griffith was 14 fucking gross. Years old."
And again, where are your fucking parents? Like, who is like, yeah, my 15-year-old can move into your house?
No,
dude. But this was the time too where you had like bands like the Runaways who were 13, and if. Person came up and was like, hey, I want to take these girls cross country.
Sounds good. Nothing no. sounds
it's
weird
like
about
the
that.
80s when they're like, yeah, sure, that's awesome.
80s is under
the 80s
in trial. On trial.
Wild.
The 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The shit that went on, like, and that's the thing. I don't like the way that this article was kind of like written because I'm just like, why are we like, oh, look at these. Isn't it wacky? And I'm like, no. It's rape. Like mm-hmm. if you're 50 and you're dating a 16 year old.
You're not dating. Stop saying the word dating first and for fucking most. You are not dating a 14 year old. Mm-hmm. You are not dating a 15 year old. You are not dating a 16 year old. You are fucking. That is the most wild shit I've ever heard. I am upset.
Yep. Yeah,
I am upsetting. Visibly upset right now. It's I am upsetting. Don't I mean to be, but I am just this
so.
Is,
with all that said, I wow. mean it does. It does make Sean Penn look about it. You're like, oh, at least she's fucking
of
in her
age.
Late 20s, right? Like,
yeah, it's that whole like Leo DiCaprio thing. At least his are like you know in his their early 20s. They stay around the same age.
He's really writing that line though, because he'll go down to like 19, which I'm like, if teen is in there at all in any
way.
Honey,
you have teen in your name. It's no.
No, sir, you're in your late 30s, your early 40s. I don't, yeah, technically she's legal, but like you're dating an 18-year-old, 19-year-old. Like, I was so stupid, you guys. When I was 18 and 19. Yeah. I was so dumb.
Oh, not me. I was super mature.
Oh, my God. Well, and as we've learned from Twilight, adults
special.
Are stupid.
Yeah.
And we are very special.
Very, very special. Smart.
And thank God teenagers exist to prove these adults.
I went on one date when I was 19 with a guy who was in his early 30s.
Yeah.
And to his credit, I think he went on one date with me and was like, oh, no, this isn't going to work out. Like, she's not...
Oh, I remember.
Mature enough. Like, it's just, it's, and I wasn't.
No.
I just wasn't.
Shit. And I was a mom by that time. Imagine. Like, I definitely went on a, I was like maybe 21 and went on a date with like a 32, 33-year-old or something. And I was like, definitely not fucking mature enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thought I was. And I was flattered.
I was also a mom. Like, come on. Like, give me a break. Who gives kids to babies?
Biology.
Science.
Yeah. Science does. Yeah, I don't know, but I it's definitely, and I feel bad for mostly this list was all young girls with the exception of 16-year-old Justin Timberlake. I feel bad for these girls because it's like you do feel special mm-hmm. to be like chosen because it does say something about it must say something about you.
You're so smart and intelligent
and mature that this person would want to like so kudos to that guy who I went on a date with for being like no.
We'll try it. No thank you.
For being like no she's
it's the same thing that happened with my teacher or whatever.
Oh god.
That's, he's like, wow. That's an abuse of
He was like, no.
Well, he shouldn't have tried it at all, my dude. My guy. Absolutely fucking not. Yeah. Like, oh, man. Wild.
Yeah. That is wild.
Wow. Oh, woo wee wow.
God. Can you imagine being married at 14?
No.
Like, shacking up with a dude?
No.
That's crazy to
me. What is this? 1950? No.
Even then.
I know.
I know.
Even then, because on this list, and we talked about it on our live show on this list was Jerry Lee Lewis and his fucking cousin, who was like 13
when
they got married.
A fucking baby.
Yeah. And it's
Elvis
like,
Presley.
Elvis Presley was on this list as well with Priscilla. Just guys. I just, why?
Woof. Wowie, wee woo. This is my worst date.
It is.
I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
We're sorry.
I'm shooketh. Wow, you guys.
Oh,
well,
man.
If you're not a Patreon patron, you should be first and foremost. Second of all, we just did an episode of Crazy in Love Movie featuring Keegan's pick, Twilight.
No regrets. No regrets at all.
Hard regrets. But we actually were talking about that movie is terrible, and you'll hear in full depth how terrible that movie is.
It is. It's a disaster of a film.
The one thing that was really wildly, amazingly good, though, was the soundtrack.
Yes.
That soundtrack was fucking fire. Fire.
Oh, yes. And all the movies, honestly.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that they took their, like, the where they came up with that is I remember before the movie came out, Stephenie Meyer released her playlist songs that she listened to when she was writing the books.
Well, she was inspired by Muse.
Yes, by Muse. Yeah. And like, so she released that like playlist and me, like 16-year-old like ran to Napster or whatever the fuck I used at the time.
Oh my God, LimeWire.
I can't remember.
Computer killers.
LimeWire. I think it was like Monster or something. Like it was something, one of those like computer killers.
Like Kazoo or Kazam or something like that.
Kazaa. Yes. Oh my God, it was Kazaa and that's what I had. Yes.
Yo,
and
you guys are not seriously with me on LimeWire? That was the computer killer for sure.
I skipped LimeWire and I went to Kazaa.
And uTorrent?
I don't remember if I had that, but like the amount of music I illegally downloaded. Oh. But at the time, like no one knew. Like everyone was doing it.
Oh,
yeah.
It
was like,
all the kids are doing it.
I downloaded every fucking song on that on her like playlist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, to her credit,
it was good.
They were good.
It was good shit. Like shit that I hadn't heard before. Like I never would have found, I'm sorry, I would never have found that Iron Wine song. I would have never, there was some Grizzly Bear. There was like shit that I was just like, whoa, I was literally turned on to music that I would have never, like Lee.
That's why I was really bummed. I think it was this week. For me, CD 101 was the big like inspiration for me. It's an alternative radio station in Columbus, Ohio. It's like the only one that wasn't Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I heard Radiohead, Bjork,
same,
like all of that stuff. And then to hear that they shut down this year,
it's
was
so
really
disappointing.
Really, just yet another.
I'm so
like,
sad.
Me too.
Dude, I saw that too. And I was just like, how? But I know that they're going to do online, an online radio version.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's so sad. But it was independent music. And I mean, in a college town, without it being a college affiliated station, I mean, that's where I was like 13 years old, you know, listening to CD 101, listening to like REM. I remember like that time when it was like the music was changing. It was just such a part.
Well, I feel like radio is dying. Like,
true.
Radio is dying because
if you're
like,
not Clear Channel, it definitely is.
You get into your car and you plug in your phone and you listen to your own playlist. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what people do most of the time. I mean, on occasion, I'll let the radio play, but 9 times out of 10, it's like, it's commercials anyway.
Yeah.
And so who does it anymore?
Yeah. I literally don't listen to the radio unless it's NPR. That's the only thing I'll listen to on the radio.
Yeah. Mine is all, podcasts and Spotify.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. It. That's all that's on.
Yeah. Occasionally I'll let like the alternative station play because I'll be like, okay, maybe there's like new music that I haven't heard yet that they'll play and then it'll get you on to like something else. But nowadays you can get on Spotify and it will just suggest things. That's how I find new music now. I listen to everything that's being suggested to me and I add it to my playlist.
Mine was kind of Pandora that way. Like I would put on like hipster cocktail party or hipster barbecue or
Pandora?
Two of my favorite channels.
Underrated.
And totally underrated. Yeah. And they would play like, I'd be like, oh shit, what's the song? Like it would just be like one or two songs. And that's how I would, that they're my new CD 101.
Yeah. Pandora is underrated. I feel like Spotify swooped in and took over. And I think they both have their place. But Pandora's ability to just like play shit
and
that you
knows.
Like.
Yeah. It's
is,
like,
is good.
Pandora is like your psychic friend who's like really gets you. You're like, oh my God, totally.
Like, wow, we're like on the same vibe.
Like, I am special. Yeah. You just know me. Edward, you just know me. You can just see right into my
soul. Hashtag Team Jacob forever.
Ew. Were you?
Oh, 100%, no. Cassie. I will fight you to the death.
Oh, fine. Okay. Bring it on. Jacob was way hotter. No way.
Yes.
Ugh. Woof.
Listeners.
Literally.
Write in and let us know.
Literally, woof.
Are you Team Edward, Team Jacob, or Team I Never Want to See Twilight Again?
Well, look, I think we're all team we never want to see Twilight again, but that doesn't stop me from having an opinion.
There you go.
I can't. I'm actually a little disappointed in you, if I'm honest.
I'm disappointed in you, Cassie. How dare you much. He was such an ass. Okay, doesn't matter. What do you matter.
Okay, Renesmee.
I'm disappointed in both of you, if I'm honest.
Wait, but how disappointed were you when I admitted that I was still watching?
I really was. I was like, what are you doing? Who are you?
You spent all of a Friday watching every single Twilight movie except for New Moon.
I hate that movie. Mm. I hated that. That book was, it's just so angsty. Yeah. Ugh.
It's just chock full of toxic romantic tropes. Ugh. So I hope that this section here has convinced you to subscribe to our Patreon so that you can listen to that fantastic content that's coming up soon for you guys. It's a wild ride.
Well, who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
I think we should do musicians.
All right.
I think we talked a little bit before this that we're kind of sick of doing inanimate objects, which is always normally pretty fun, but I'm ready to do some people.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my thoughts.
Okay.
On the alternative music front.
Oh, good. Okay.
I am a huge Beck fan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't know what we have to do to make him my pick, but my pick is Beck.
Okay.
Well, Jesus. I mean, I've got to go with
Thom Yorke.
Thom.
Mm. I do love Thom.
Yeah. If we're talking alternative music boys, Thom Yorke.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Alternative music boys. I like this.
Because you got, I feel like we've done something similar to this.
We have, because we've done Thom Yorke before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we did Thom Yorke with
the dude from
Soundgarden.
With Good Charlotte.
Right.
Was Emo Boys, was also very fun. that was very fun for me. God.
Like, alternative guy, like lead singers, there's like a rarity.
Eddie Vedder.
I was gonna go Eddie Vedder, but I feel like we've also done him before.
I don't think we have.
Have we not?
I don't think so.
All right, we'll go with Eddie
Vedder.
That's
a strong. Yeah, that is a strong choice.
I'm gonna go there.
God damn, I'm actually torn now.
So we got Beck, we've got Eddie Vedder, and we've got Thom Yorke.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. I think I. Oh,
I know what I'm gonna do.
Tough.
I think I know what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
I know what I'm gonna do too.
I am going to. Fuck Eddie Vedder.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's something gravelly and rough about it. Yeah. Like that I
rough
like.
Hands.
Yeah. Calloused fingers. Mm. You know?
Yep.
And even though I feel like people would say a lot that he wasn't good looking, but when I think
he's attractive.
I do too.
I think he's so attractive.
Very sexy.
And I think when he was young, hot. I still think
he's sexy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like him. I do. And I think it wouldn't be rough, but it would be intense. Do you know what I mean?
He's got a Kevin Costner vibe to me.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? That kind of ruins it for me.
No, I don't like that.
No, Kevin Costner, like 90s.
I mean, I love Kevin Costner.
90s Kevin Costner movie. That's what Eddie Vedder makes me think of. Okay. I don't know why, but it's just coming to mind where it's like, gruff, rough hands, but like solid.
He dances with
solid. Yeah. Eddie Vedder is going to fuck you on a Patagonia blanket. You know what I mean?
In a
like
tent.
Outside.
In a teepee.
You know? Yes. I like that. So I'm going to go with that. And he's like the type of guy who would be like great, like once in a while, you know, like you connect back up and it's awesome. Like you spend all night talking and then you fuck outside and you go your separate ways until.
And then you're back in Seattle again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you connect back up. Right. As that you have good coffee and like that's what happens. So I'm going to fuck Eddie Vedder. I'm going to marry Beck.
Okay.
There is something there is something.
He is a Scientologist. I just want you to know that.
Yep.
Sorry, I feel like
have
I wouldn't
have fun with that. It wouldn't thank feel you for being.
Yeah,
upfront.
I just went. I just feel like you. It was necessary for you to know, and I don't know how that makes you feel. I do because I can see your face. I just I feel like that might have changed your.
Is this staying in or are we cutting this out?
Oh, it is staying in. It is. Come for me, Hubbard.
Honestly, at this point, fuck yeah. Honestly, come at me.
No,
Scientology's done, right?
No. You can't sue somebody for having an opinion. I don't like Scientology, so that is my opinion.
It's my opinion. We didn't say that it was false.
Yeah. I'm just saying I don't like it.
That's right.
I'm just going to pretend you didn't say that to me. And I'm going to I'm gonna go off of like...
All right. You can change him. We're just, special and you can change him.
I don't think I can. I'm going to get murdered. Okay.
You know his wife is... was in Days of Confused. In the hole
with Shelley Miscavige.
No, she was in Days of Confused. She's the redhead in Days of Confused. She's actually a twin brothers with, what's his nuts?
Twin sister?
Yeah. With her twin brother is... Shit.
Is it the chick that was in Orange is the New Black?
No. No, she's the redhead in Days of Confused.
I don't know
her. Days of Confused. I don't know why I was thinking that 70s show. Because that chick's a Scientology too.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
This is impossible now. Like, you guys have told me.
No, I actually made my decision that much easier.
I was so secure in my plan.
Yeah, like,
I was
like,
oh,
Marissa Ribisi.
Okay. Right.
So her brother is
Giovanni.
Giovanni Ribisi, yes.
Is Giovanni Ribisi
a Scientologist? Yes.
Yes, they both are. Sorry. Sorry.
I feel like my world just got destroyed.
I am
devastated, and now I'm on the spot and I have to make a decision. I hate this.
I'm sorry.
I hate that you've done this to me.
I know, I ruined it.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I've got to just stick with my original plan because as much as I love Radiohead, and I do, there is something, and I think we had this conversation when we put him in Fuck, Marry, Kill last time. There is something about Thom Yorke that...
He'll never be cool enough for him.
Never. I feel like he will treat me with a level of indifference that my...
Oh, I think he'd be flat out condescending.
Yeah, but my ego...
He's going to actually...
It can't handle it. It can't handle it. I can't... I would go home feeling bad about myself.
Oh, yeah. No.
I would get in the shower with all my clothes on and just cry because like he will... take me to task, and I don't know if I can. I can't. I'm too fragile. I can't be with Thom Yorke as much as I love his music. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he would ruin me. Mm-hmm. So I have to kill him.
And to put it back to the conversation we had last week, that is somebody along with George Clooney that you would have to have a house for farts.
Yes.
Yes, because he will judge you openly. Wait,
you're gonna fart in front of Thom Yorke?
No, like, you're not. I would rather fart in front of George Clooney.
Same, because I feel like George Clooney.
I would rather fart in front of Brad fucking Pitt.
Yes, because I feel like George Clooney is gonna approach it
with
a level of humor
that
Thom Yorke is going to judge you.
And you nailed it. I feel like he does not have a sense of humor.
No.
I see nothing humorous.
No, he's going to take everything way too seriously.
Very serious.
I can't live like that. I can't live like that.
I bet he's a narcissist.
Yeah.
I bet he's impossible.
Vibes. Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry, Thom Yorke, if you're listening.
But
you're
gonna offended. Fuck him.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. You are.
I am going to fuck Thom Yorke. And we're going to do it to his music.
Yeah, we are.
Because...
he'd have it
best.
No other way.
I feel like that's how he does it.
He would have it.
He's like,
no other way.
Forget about your house of cards,
dude. It's gonna be mediocre, probably. I don't see him being.
It's
great.
Not gonna blow your mind.
I'm easy.
Yeah, I don't.
But
know.
I'd still be like, fucking Thom Yorke.
Yeah,
you
might not be able to come just because of that.
I know. I'd be holding my breath. First of all, I'd be like,
because your breath might stink.
Analyzing every single thing my body, it would not be enjoyable.
I'm not gonna lie. This sounds like a terrible experience.
No.
Like you would do it just so you could say you did
for the story.
Yeah,
just because. It. And it's like there's something like full circle that it feels like for me. I'm like, yes,
that'll tie it up in a nice bow.
I know he's objectively strange looking, but God,
I love strange.
I
interesting.
Think he's so
I fucking love strange.
Hot.
I love
interesting
sexy.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, the lotus flower video where he's just dancing. I'm like, I will get on the bowler hat.
Ooh, yeah,
so hard.
He's hot.
Gonna marry Eddie Vedder.
Yeah,
I like it's them a good strong choice. Hands. Yeah. He's mm-hmm. a humanitarian. Yeah. Seems like a good, seems solid, like a nice dude.
Yeah, he does.
Talented. He might be that type that brings a guitar to a party. He is. We have to break that habit.
He is. Yes,
but it's any better, so I'd allow it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's yeah. that's true. It's not.
I'll allow it.
And Eddie Vedder is going to make you feel special.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's the type.
You're the only girl in the world to him.
Right. He's going to look right at you. During a show and make you feel like you're the only person
like
in
Edward and Twilight,
Cassie.
But yes, so I gotta lock that down. He's yeah. mine, and I gotta kill back.
Okay,
I've never. That's cool. I love his music. I think he's like super fun and everything. But just
it's gonna
never,
be tantric sex if we're honest.
I've never had right, any yeah. kind of sexual feelings towards Beck.
There's something attractive about Beck's face to me. I don't know what that is, but. Hmm.
I will yeah. tell you who I've always been super sexually attracted to in this vein is Wayne Coyne. So when it came
from
down
Flaming
to
Lips,
Flaming Lips,
yeah.
oh my mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah. so that would have been another option. I'm marrying Eddie Vedder. There is no other choice.
Good
he
idea.
Is a solid husband. He is fucking, he seems like the one of the most amazing people. Like he honestly, genuinely, A, also closest to Chris, as I can imagine mm. as well. Like he is definitely
he's the most down to earth of these
he's
three.
He's very down yeah. to earth. Like
no
you could
no B sides on 10.
You know what I mean? No B sides on 10. Listen, here's the thing. You could have I feel like he's the kind of guy you could laugh with. You could have a serious conversation with. Mm-hmm. He'll never mansplain you. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's very strongly feminist.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's just an all around gonna be an amazing husband.
Yeah, I yeah. get it. I should have married Eddie Vedder. Okay.
Yeah.
I
well, understand. You made your bed. Oof. This is where it gets tough for me because this is really difficult because I as well think Thom Yorke is incredibly fucking sexy. And
I think Beck's gonna be better in bed, if I'm honest. I agree.
But here's my thoughts on that. I feel like Beck might be like try to YouTube tantric sex you or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you know what? If you're only doing it once, I would do a tantric sex situation if it was like one time.
And it doesn't take much for me. Like I'm easy. So, I mean, it's not like would I rather just bang it out real good and fast or have tantric 2-day sex? I'd rather bang it out. And to me, I feel like that's a little bit more Thom Yorke. I don't want to have sex for days. That literally makes me. I would rather have sex 20 times in 2 days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to have one long sex session
no.
either. I really
no.
don't.
But, no, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think what I'm going to do, God, because they're both sexy to me, but there is something special and sexy about Thom Yorke.
Yeah. That's that dark.
It's dark.
It's dark.
It's darker. Mm-hmm. It's darker. It's darker. And there's definitely more of a possibility of him getting dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to fuck Thom Yorke. Okay. And I'm going to kill Beck. Maybe, and I will still appreciate all his music. I love what you've done, Beck.
Yes.
Love what you've done.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Sorry.
Oh, that was a good one.
Whew. You guys want to take 5 and we'll come back with stories?
Yeah.
And we're back.
I'm going to kick us off.
Okay.
I got this one from Reddit. About 5 months after I was in a long-term abusive relationship, I decided I would enter the dating pool again. I believe I was on the dating app Bumble. I met a few guys here and there, but nobody I really jived with until I met a guy. We'll call him Dan. Dan was very attentive and charming via text in the days leading up to our first date. On the first date, he invited me for a drink at a lounge in Northeast Portland. Before I arrived, he was joking about how he would be difficult to find due to a lumberjack beard and black corduroy jacket.
Amen. Yeah, you're Portland. Like, hi.
Which one?
Portlandia.
I found him anyway, and we sat down with our drinks that he paid for and nice. Began chatting away. He was very nice, attentive, charming, just like his texts. He was very good looking. We had a lot in common, and I felt like I was finally getting along with someone new, and this could have some potential. About 30 minutes into the date, he started talking about a second date, how he had season tickets to the Portland Orchestra, and that he thought, wow. given both of our musical backgrounds, it would be cool to attend a show sometime.
Now, I have a question.
I like this so far.
Do mm-hmm. you think having season tickets to the Portland Orchestra, do you think that's a flex for dates?
I think it'd be a weird flex.
I think it's a baller move if you are dating to just go ahead and pick up season.
That's kind, yeah, season I think it's tickets cool.
To just be like, if you're on dating, you have a built-in thing to do.
I think it's pretty great.
But like, who goes to the orchestra by themselves?
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's taking Bumble dates.
That's what I mean. When I'm just like, does he have that to take his dates on? Because I'm just like, well, are you going like alone?
Otherwise
alone.
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's to do for dating.
Yeah, agree. So, okay.
After a second round of drinks, it seemed like we both didn't want the date to end. He walked me into my car, gave me a sweet kiss on the cheek, and sent me off.
That's cute.
I like it so far.
Yeah.
We kept texting the following days and decided to meet again for happy hour before we went on a third date to see the orchestra. I arrived a little early at the restaurant of choice and waited no longer than 5 minutes for him to get there. No worries. Except when he arrived, it's like a switch had flipped and he was completely off.
This is so disappointing. Like, when you're on the third date, like, by now butterflies are at a 10. Yeah. Like, you are fully invested, you're excited about this person. Yeah. Clearly you like them enough to be going on this many dates. Like, this would suck.
Yeah, I would ask him a question to get to know him or follow up on a conversation we previously had, and he would just kind of stare at me or take a very long time to respond.
Wow.
He seemed disinterested. I wrote it off as maybe he was tired or had a bad day. And then, out of nowhere, he started asking me questions back. Dan, when was your last relationship?
Oh, God.
Me, about 5 months ago, I kind of took some time away from dating. Dan, why? Did it end badly?
He knows something.
Yeah.
This asshole. I feel it.
Me, yes. Without going into detail, let's just say he wasn't a very nice guy. Dan. Did he not suck on your tits enough?
I'm sorry, what?
Grinning as he asked this.
So he knows the guy.
Me.
I feel like.
Awkwardly and very taken aback. Huh? Dan, I asked if he didn't suck on your tits enough.
All right, I'm leaving now.
Like, that is such a weird.
It's so random.
And it's like, God, I'm actually mad because like when you've come out of a bad relationship like this.
Right.
I feel like that would be so fucking triggering that. I wouldn't even want to stick around to see how that conversation would go. Like, I just want to leave now, actually.
Yeah.
Me, I know what you asked, but that's just a very awkward and weird thing to ask. Also, it's not really any of your business. Dan, I'm sorry. That was rude. I just haven't gotten enough sleep.
Okay.
Awkward silence. Anyway, what do you say we get out of here and get some fresh air? Me, hoping that it was a fluke. Sure, that would be nice. It's so out of left field.
It is. It's so
weird.
And
they had a good first date. I'm like, I can kind of give her.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you're just like hoping that something weird. Just like, that's just a weird joke or something.
Maybe something inside with his friends.
We were in downtown Portland walking around store to store and we chatted and window shopped. Things still felt off and I was getting ready to just end the date and walk back to my car when he spotted a Valentine's pop-up shop. Valentine's Day was about a week away, and there was this little boutique that was selling all kinds of gifts and trinkets. He asked if we can go in to check it out, as they were also advertising free champagne and chocolate samples. I agreed. What could go wrong?
I can't turn down some free champagne and chocolate. So far. Yeah, that sounds great.
So we walked around, drank a little champagne, and pretended to admire the crap on sale. At some point, he darted towards a table that was selling something called Clone Willy. He called over to me and beckoned me to come join him. Huh? I walked over and he told the lady that was selling her product to explain what it was to me. Basically, it's a putty mold that a man would encase his penis in. And then when it dried, you would send it back to the company and they would fabricate a silicone dildo that was the exact mold of your partner's penis.
Sir, your dick ain't that good.
That is exactly. That is not a gift for the ladies. That's a gift for a man's ego.
That's what I was going to say. It's just like, dude, if you want the D, you have the D. You get a dildo for something different.
Like, exactly. Right. I'm like, and my dildo doesn't even like look like a D. I'm like, it's like, dude, nobody is jerking off with your dick. Nobody.
Literally.
Nobody.
Literally no one.
No one.
No one.
Ever. 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 So this isn't that strange of a thing because Portland is known for its weirdness and it seemed like a gag gift for Valentine's Day. He was super excited about it though and asked several questions and kept looking at my reaction. I asked if we could leave as I made up an excuse about why I needed to be home. He walked me to my car again, grabbed the back of my neck as he went in for a kiss. I pulled away, but the way he held his hand on the back of my neck kept my face close to his. He then whispered in a very commanding tone, "I want you to go back in there and get that clone a Willy kit. I'm going to take it home and make the mold, send it back to the company, then bring you the finished toy. Then I want to see you fuck yourself with it in front of me."
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, this is date number three.
They haven't even been to the orchestra
and and they haven't like slept together yet.
They haven't slept together yet, no.
This is a lot. Like, he's been reading too many books.
It's a lot.
That he thinks this is hot.
Again, like, sure, like my story last week, it's like, that might be someone's thing. They might like that, but you don't know her well enough to know that yet.
If you haven't talked about sex or anything like that, at this point, they have had two drinks together. They have had two drinks. How long is that? An hour? An hour and a half? Maybe?
No.
And they've texted?
It's forward.
I don't like it. It's too forward.
Yeah. If she hasn't given some sort of consent that she's like okay with having conversations like that.
Yeah.
This is a reason why, like, don't send dick pics or don't respond when someone's like, "Hey, what's up? My dick in your ass," or whatever. Oh, it's just God. Like, no. Never go straight for the sex. It's such a turnoff. It's creepy. It's weird.
Well, because you're really taking a gamble that this person is going to be into that. And you have no real way of knowing that's something that, like, or on the other side of the spectrum, you have no way of knowing if that's something that's going to trigger them in a really negative way. Like, it's bad. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Right. So she says, "I was kind of terrified. Do I really attract that many fucking weird men?" Mm-hmm. "I was frozen for a second. He was grinning at me with his all-American jaw jutting out. I did the only thing I felt would get me out of there. So I just sort of shrugged and laughed it off as I very slyly replied, 'But Dan, my rule is I have to go on a third date before I use a silicone penis mold of the guy I'm seeing.' That did the trick. He bust up laughing and then he responds with, 'Well, let's pick it up after we see the show this weekend.' I nodded my head and the moment he released my hair from his grip, I climbed into my car, smiled at him from the driver's window and drove off."
Yeah,
exactly.
She's like at the next stoplight blocking him, unmatching.
Exactly. He texted me the next day to let me know the schedule of the symphony he wanted to go see that weekend. I just said I was not interested and he made me very uncomfortable and I really didn't want to see him again. The weird thing was that he actually agreed he was behaving badly, but after my previous boyfriend, I really wasn't about to give this guy another chance."
No, smart.
Good call.
Good move.
Good move.
Wait, it's trust your gut. Weirder for him to be like, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah.
Then why?
Yeah.
And why? Exactly.
Yeah. No, she made the right move. And honestly, a move that I would not probably be smart enough to have done.
Well, I'm always team give somebody a million chances. Yep. It's a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be like, okay, well, they seem like aware of their shit. That makes it worse, not better. And like, you have to remember that.
Yeah, it does actually make that worse. That mm-hmm. he's like, no, it's just like, so why are you like testing boundaries that early on of doing that?
No, it's indicative of like weird behavior later down the road. But yep. he likes to like pick and poke and like I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
Alrighty. "I was working as a waitress in a restaurant that saw a lot of upscale business lunches back in the 3-martini era." I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
It's like martini lunches.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. "The CEO of one multinational used to come through every few months and spend a couple of days taking people to lunch at the restaurant. He was friendly and pretty drunk by the end of these 4+ hour lunches. Mm-hmm. And he'd often ask me on a date, quite charmingly, which made up for the fact that he was some 40 years older than me."
Whoa.
Appropriate for what we just talked about.
After about 2 years, I said yes to a date.
Oh my God.
And she was like, all right, warm me down.
Yeah.
"Figured it would be a fun dinner and then I'd disappear, dubious virtue intact. We had a lavish dinner in a rooftop ballroom of the Hotel Vancouver. We enjoyed cocktails, champagne, lobsters, a couple of bottles of red wine,
shit.
And then several rounds of double Armagnacs."
That sounds, that, right? That sounds fancy. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it sounds expensive.
Super expensive. To be honest, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I would go on one of these days. Just once.
I went on one super fancy date. And it actually, for me, was
uncomfortable
because I wasn't into the guy. It made me uncomfortable how much money
he was dropping.
Spent. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not fun.
There was a big band orchestra playing, and despite the fact that I didn't know a thing about ballroom dancing, he got me out on the dance floor several times.
Okay. I'm not even mad about this so far, actually. It sounds like a fun night.
I was having a great time, and so was he.
There you go.
During the last dance, I decided to try and do the swoop with him in my arms. Did I mention that he was 6'4", over a foot taller than me? I dipped him down, and then I dropped him.
Yeah, you did. Of course you did.
Oh, no. Yeah. Grandpa broke a hip, didn't he?
No.
And then I fell on top of
him. Oh, no.
I broke his collarbone.
Oh, my God.
We spent the rest of the evening sobering up in the emergency at VGH. He kept coming back to the restaurant, but he never did ask me out again.
Well, there you go.
There you go. God. You know what? This is what happens when you try and like date
try
people 40 years younger than you, okay? They're faster.
They're going to break their joints are stronger.
Their joints are stronger. Their bones are stronger.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's fucking hilarious. Okay. I got this off of Reddit. After sending a few messages back and forth with a reasonably interesting seeming gentleman, we made some loose plans to meet up and then go to the top of a local mountain to enjoy the view of the city. On the way to the mountain, we got lost. And instead of asking for directions, my date decided to change our plans and just take me to the mall.
Okay.
I can't decide if I'm like okay with that or if I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Because part of me is like, I get it. Just go. Just maximize the amount of time you have.
I guess. Yeah. At best, I was in for an incredibly boring time. At worst, I would need to contemplate how to jump out of this moving vehicle to avoid being axe murdered.
I do kind of want to know, like, how old are they? Because I feel like you age out of mall dates fairly quickly. Like, you have to be under 22.
Easily.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to go to the mall.
I don't personally ever want to go to the mall ever.
Yeah.
Same. Not even alone. Not with people.
Yep.
Not with anything.
I like the mall, but I'm a solo mall person. Like, I don't even like going to the mall really with like girlfriends. Like, yeah, I go there for a purpose.
Yep.
I'm trying to like shop at my own pace, and I don't want to like, I don't want to be on anybody else's timetable at the moment.
I'm just genuinely at the place now where I'd prefer to just shop online.
Yeah.
Period. I just don't enjoy mall.
I like
at
to
all.
Try things on.
Yeah.
Which you can't do nowadays anyway.
Rent the runway. That's where I'm at. Anyway, to my surprise, we arrived at the mall safely. I spent the next hour following him through materialistic hell, listening to him talk about clothes that he hated or thought were funny and enduring an endless rant about how he likes girls who don't wear makeup.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're done. Like,
bye.
Nothing's going to make me pack it in quicker.
Nothing. Like, finally, we made it through the mall. And just as I was blissfully contemplating being able to go home, he decided our unshopping extravaganza must not come to an end. To Walmart, he cried triumphantly.
No, absolutely right. Not.
Another hour later, we emerged from Walmart after my date had pointed out to me pretty much every piece of electronics in the store, telling me which ones he would own if he had the money.
Okay.
I'm a bit numb at this point.
That's a very nice digital camera, right?
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a very nice digital camera is the most I'm able to say. Am I free yet? No. We drive back to the city, but he had become hungry. I am dragged further to a dingy late night sandwich joint where I sat watching him eat a sandwich in silence.
He didn't even buy you a sandwich?
I let him drop me off a block away from my house, gave him a consolatory hug, and never saw him again.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I would have Ubered after the mall.
Yeah. You know what? Not feeling well.
No, I gotta go home. Yeah.
I think it's COVID.
God bless Uber. honestly.
Okay, exactly.
Doing the Lord's work, getting people out of bad dates. But the, yeah, no, I never
not even a sandwich.
Walk around Walmart.
It's a real problem. Like I burned so many calories walking right. around this mall, and you're not even going to buy me like a Subway sandwich, my guy?
My guy.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready for this crazy and me love too. Situation. Dude, yes. You have notes.
I do.
You have notes like I have notes usually.
I do.
Got the notebook out.
Yeah. I have notes, but
okay, it's that's kind of not crazy. Like my notes. My notes are all like 15 pages long of you're good at like memorizing shit.
Yeah.
I have a horrible memory.
I do have a weird memory in that way. So Cassie knows what I'm doing because I had to consult her because I knew she had watched it. Now, I feel like at this point, you guys know I like family annihilators. I mean, I don't like them.
Right. But I understand. They interest you.
Yeah. The other thing, con men. Con men, stories, just gobble them up. Like amuse bouche. Yum, 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 yum.
This is a full entree, though.
Full narcissist. I want. So
I have such a hard time understanding it. I think that that's what's interesting to me about it is because like clearly con men have to have some kind of superhuman ability because all these people can't be stupid. Right? No. You know, like it's not that. So it's something else. And I just don't understand it at all. And so I consume all of this media in an attempt to understand it.
Yeah, same. And for me, it's like it's so emotional watching people share their stories because there's so much shame in
it. Of course.
And stigma and, you know, wanting to explain. I think I consume it so much too to be like, oh, like, because anybody can be duped.
Absolutely.
Anybody. Anybody. So maybe it's like kind of trying to protect myself.
Sure.
Like, what red flags did they just gloss right over?
This and cults. You know? This and cults. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's the same kind of thing where it's just like you get tricked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, it's very much a cult because you're literally buying into someone's
bullshit.
Yeah. So I watched a 4-part series on Showtime called Love Fraud, which Cassie has seen too, and which I
contemplated doing, but I was like, it's
banana sandwich. Yeah.
It is.
I highly, highly recommend watching. It's really incredibly well done. The directors are the two women behind Jesus Camp, which is also a really great documentary.
Jesus Camp gave me PTSD.
Oof, I bet.
Because that was like my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really, really well done documentary. And so yeah, I'm going to tell you the story of Richard Scott.
Wait,
Smith.
Can I borrow your pen so I can write down Jesus Camp? Because I'm definitely going to watch that.
Have you not seen it?
I've never seen it.
It's fantastic. I think it's on Netflix.
It used to be on Netflix. I don't know if it still is, but Jesus Camp is a great documentary. But if you grew up with the same kind of like evangelical background that I grew up with, just be prepared to have like your childhood mirrored back at you.
Yikes.
And really,
I'm nervous, but also semi-excited.
But it's good. Yeah, you should watch it.
Okay. So it starts off, the documentary does, with a man leaving a voicemail, basically like just over the moon in love. I want to be wanted. I want to be special. I want to be your one and only. I want that everlasting, eternal love. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And it opens on a woman named Tracy, who is head over heels with this guy. She met him on Tinder. His name was Mickey. She swiped right. He swiped right.
The beginning of a classic romance.
Exactly. You know. And she said, you know, the quote I wrote down was, dating in your 40s sucks.
I bet.
Oh, sure.
Dude, dating as a woman in my 30s sucked. I can't imagine it gets any easier.
Oh, hell no.
The older that you get. And so slim fucking pickings, big time. Lots of creeps. She details going out with people that just like forgot to put in their teeth. Like,
okay,
all kinds of like crazy.
Forgot.
Not good.
What?
Also, they're in Kansas City. So there's that.
Yeah.
So she meets this guy. He's in a suit, looks super professional. He's a pilot. He's a CEO of his own business.
Mm.
You know?
He's a goddamn unicorn.
Mm-hmm. He is just like mm-hmm. put together and very receptive, texting back and forth, just like really communicative.
I don't know if it's from having done this show for the last mm-hmm. 2.5 years or if it's just part of my personality or like what it is.
Have you already spotted red flags?
This is why, like, look.
And I'm all on the FFA website, like, beep, boop, beep, boop.
Yeah,
beep.
Yeah. I, there is something like, at this point, if this were to be me, if I was in this situation, I was right. a single woman,
you're,
I'm in this situation.
You're at this point right now.
If a good guy were to come along, I feel like I am so cynical that I wouldn't trust it. Like, and you don't want to be that person, right? Because you want to be open to love and you want to be open to the fact that good things can happen to you. But maybe it's just from having done this show for so long or just something about my personality. But like this would have me side-eyeing. Like, what did we say in the beginning of this? Like, look at all of these like old dudes. Fucking, you're rich, you're successful, you're asking out women, your waitresses in my story who's 40 years younger than you. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is something that would make me be like, why?
Yeah.
Why me?
Yeah.
You're a pilot. You're a CEO. What's you're wrong? Super yeah. successful.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just my own insecurities. Yeah, I don't because, know. But like,
I mean, pilots and CEOs do exist. Sure. And I assume they date. But yeah, do you know how many fucking CEOs and entrepreneurs were on Tinder?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're the CEO
by entrepreneur of your Uber business.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I like to describe myself as cautiously optimistic.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that's me.
It's, I should have been a little bit more cautious at times, but I get, you know, where she was coming from. You know, you're talking to somebody, you meet them up maybe for a date. And then if it's like, oh, okay, you're out nothing but a half an hour of your time. Right?
I can never be single again because I will be alone for the rest of my life because I trust nobody. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, no, I don't trust.
Well, then I've got the person for you.
Oh no.
Okay. So the first date they went on was this motorcycle ride. And Tracy's like, her life was such that she just worked and took care of her kids. And this was like eye-opening for her. He was fun. He was freedom. He was a breath of fresh air. She fell for him very quickly. He fell for her very quickly. They are talking love. They're looking at houses. He says to her in a voicemail, like, you know, I just have never met anyone that made me feel this way. And pretty soon he pops the question, like,
how soon?
Like, I know this is really fast. It's within a couple of months. And she's like, I want us to be together. So he's like, you know, everything's coming in November. November, I get this really big settlement from this medical malpractice suit because he had an operation on his face that the doctor botched up, and so he was going to get $7.8 million. So they spent a lot of their time fantasizing what they were going to do with the money. You know, he was like, you know, you don't have to worry about your son's college, you don't have to worry about money anymore. They're looking at houses. They went ahead and pre-purchased a car under her name.
Okay.
A nice car.
A couple of months, mm-hmm. you guys, like, literally there's food in my fridge longer. Like, no.
Well,
you can't.
Here's the thing. And I love that you brought that up because I think through my own relationship mm-hmm. that I'm in right now.
I mean, low key, listen, listeners, I'm very happy for you and Eric. I'm so happy that you guys are coming up on 1 year.
Yeah.
I'm so happy things worked out. But of all your friends, I think I was the most skeptical.
Yeah.
And I think I said the exact same thing to you when you did. You were like, it was like 2 months in and you guys were talking about moving in together. Three months.
Yeah, it was March. Yeah, it's 3 months.
Yes. And I think I said to you, I have milk in my fridge that's older than your relationship.
Oh. Yep.
And I wasn't trying to be a bitch. I really wasn't. And I'm sorry if it came across
as... We're friends. But, like, that's what you need friends for. So that's important. And I'm glad that you said that because, you know, you do need some skepticism and, you know, you need that eye because, you know, we were saying the L word like early on, mm-hmm. I was shocked by how I was feeling. I know I shared a lot of my fears and everything with you guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, could he have, if he was a grifter, could I have been, I mean, we didn't combine money. I ain't that crazy. Mm-hmm.
Right,
like,
right, right.
You can sleep with me.
Right.
We're at nothing joint. Nothing.
Yeah.
And no, I'll never do that again. No,
look, really? Look, me and Anthony have been together for 7 years. We're going to get married. I mean, maybe we will.
You guys don't have a joint account?
We opened one for the wedding just to put money in for like wedding stuff. But that's it. Like, and maybe we'll keep it open for like things like that in the future. But our accounts are separate.
Yeah.
Our finances are separate.
That's what I'm doing from here on
you
out.
You know, and no shade on doing it any other way.
We just got both. I mean, so we have our joint account, which we pay all our bills with. And then both Chris and I have separate accounts as well, just for like
your own shit.
Sure. You know, escape plans.
Yeah. No
plans. I'm just kidding. I definitely don't have enough escape
money
in there.
Tracy's daughter was Keegan. Was yes. like, this is.
I would
this
be worried. If it was my mom, I would be very concerned.
Oh, yeah. My mom.
So yes. went through his truck one day and found a whole bunch of documents. Now, he was Mickey Smith to them. Mm-hmm. So if she's finding all kinds of documents in his truck, going into Richard Scott Smith, Rich, all kinds of different names and stuff, she Googles, finally, Richard Scott Smith, and she finds this website. ScottTheCrookSmith.weebly.com.
Oh, shit.
And it is a blog, and the title, it has his picture with Crook written all over it. And the question is, has this man victimized you?
Damn.
And so.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do that with Eric right now. I'm going to Google his ass.
I know, right? A Weebly, a blog that has been going since 2014.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Started by Elisa, who was, she thinks, wife number 8. And it is filled with stories that sound very similar to Tracy's in that. They meet online, they fall in love very quickly, gets married, drains a joint account or opens up businesses, cars, mortgages, loans, everything under, like, destroys women's credit, destroys it, destroyed one woman so bad that she is, you know, in her 40s having to move back in with her parents.
Oh, yeah.
With
That's
her mom
right.
and dad.
Oh,
and I'm like, do you know? Listen, my mom would be pleased as punch if I moved back in with her. Let me tell you. But
not me.
My mom too, yeah.
The level of depression.
Oh.
And then rage.
And shame.
That I would have.
Yeah.
And these women, you know, we're talking, he didn't. So even though he conned over $1 million out of these women, it's not like he walked with that money.
That's really the weirdest
fucked
thing,
up
right?
is he didn't really get money.
He just fucked them over.
He just fucked them over. So it's not about the money because he's a nickel and dime guy. These aren't rich women. Not at all.
It's so weird.
It is very strange.
What is that?
It's control.
That's much scarier.
And it's so much scarier than somebody that's just out to get money because he didn't really get money from these women.
Who has the time? Like, I feel like
it's his full time.
This is your
full time.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a job. This is his full time.
Look, you guys, I am tired all the time.
Yeah.
Now, as it is, I'm like, I don't have the energy to be like conning people out of shit, moving, changing my identity, like setting up multiple bank accounts. Like, fuck.
Dude, this documentary is fucking wild.
Yeah. So it's at this point where the documentary team joins in because Rachel and Heidi have been searching for their next project after Jesus Camp. And they came across a book about con men and they were like, oh, we really want to find, you know, that story. And so they came across the blog. And so that's how they got involved. And they were like, holy crap, these women are starting to come together trying to fucking find this guy or whatever, somewhere in Kansas City. And he's out there just like, making a bunch of women in Kansas City really pissed off. So the documentary team gets involved, and then they meet the hero.
Oh, fuck.
They
I'm so gripped.
This bitch.
Lady Bounty Hunter, Carla.
Carla.
Carla is the patron saint of I ain't that bitch.
And pissed off bitches.
Yes. She is the patron saint of...
I mean, she hotboxes cigarettes like you would not believe. She is...
And she sounds like it, too.
She...
Her voice is like kind of raspy.
And she's like, I will never let another man touch me again. And she's like shooting guns. She is like.
She is.
She
wild. Carla, I love you.
Carla
is the best. Amazing. She's incredible.
Oh my God. So, I want to watch this so bad.
Oh, it's so good.
Phenomenal. It's so good.
She is the hero.
She is the hero. So Lady Bounty Hunter, Carla, is on the case pro bono because she is so fucking furious at this.
I don't know if I've ever been filled with more joy. Like, I feel like a kid on Christmas right now. Like, I'm just like, fuck him up. Yes, queen.
She's like, literally, like, I want to slit his throat. She's like, so fucking foul. Like, Eric and I were literally like, she's the best.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I literally wrote that. Saint Carla, patron saint of I ain't that bitch. She's a survivor of an abusive relationship who became a bartender, and you know, there was a guy that came in that like slapped his girl one time at the bar. She fucking jumped over the bar and jumped the dude, and there was a guy in the bar that was like, have you ever considered being a bounty hunter?
Yep.
And that's how she got in the game.
Love it.
Is that brilliant?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But she's also a realist, and this is where Richard Scott Smith is brilliant in his own way, is that marriage makes everything community property.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing this across different states and
unless
everything.
That marriage is illegal.
Exactly. But that's the thing, is that these things come across a judge's desk and they're just pieces of paper.
That's right.
You know what I mean? They're not seeing the entire scope of all of these women, this pattern of behavior that's just a fucking destruction. They just don't care. And it is such a gap in our justice system. And when I was doing research or whatever on the blog, the amount of other con men pulling this similar shit, it's rampant.
I am in the wrong career. I need to start.
Now's a good time for a career change, Cassie. I'm just saying, like, pivot.
Pivot.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's really difficult to prosecute. If they do find you guilty, chances are it's for like a small thing that you'll get probation for or whatever. But the amount of destruction that you can wreak without like any kind of revenge is it's awful. So she's like, you know, I need you guys to be aware. So let's try to find out, you know, where he is now, because he is actually on probation right now. So he is violating his probation. They can pick him up for that. At least.
Mm-hmm.
But first, they got to fucking find the guy. So they go sleuthing. And it is fantastic. They're tracking him, this army of women with tips coming in on their Weebly blog. And they're becoming like fast friends. They meet this guy named Jim. They get a tip about this guy named Jim. He's like, I think my wife just stole my 401k and went off with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we meet.
How do you convince someone to do that?
Dude, my dude.
I'll tell you how he convinced her to do
it. Dude.
So.
Oh, it's so fucked up.
His wife, who is also a Carla, so that gets confusing. This is Carla with a K. Carla with a K was obsessed with karaoke. Okay. Karaoke Carla.
Yeah, yeah, understood.
Had been married to Jim for like 39 years. And she just got really obsessed with karaoke.
Understood. I can relate.
And but Jim was like Anthony.
Yeah, Jim was like, I don't care. It's not for me.
For me. You go out, you have a good time.
Exactly.
I'm ready to slow my roll, stay home and watch Matlock. Bye.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so Jim was like, she used to come home at 8:00 and then she came home at midnight, and then she wasn't coming home like at all. She'd be like, oh, I'm staying over at my friend Patty's place or whatever.
Look, it's never Patty. You're not staying at Patty's place.
No.
So that's how she met Richard Scott Smith, because one of the ways that he would pick up chicks is just being at like karaoke bars and shit like that. And so he sang.
Not even karaoke safe anymore, guys.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He sang a Tim McGraw song and was like looking in her eyes.
Oh no, he pulled a Vetter, huh?
Yes.
Oh fuck.
And she was head over heels. So she
Edward Collender. He Edward Collender.
Yeah, definitely. So she took all of Jim's money and he convinced her to follow her dream. And Karaoke Carla's dream was to own in Kansas City a fast casual seafood restaurant named Crab King's.
Listen, all right, I have to say this because.
And that is crab with a K and King's with a Z.
No.
And in the most landlocked place in the entire country.
But here's the thing. Here is our fast casual seafood.
Actually, it's in Wichita, Kansas.
That's right. It's Wichita.
I hear this argument being made a lot that like, there should not be seafood places in landlocked places. But like, I disagree. There's like all kinds of seafood places in the Midwest.
I'm going to go on a limb and say, I would not eat at Crab King's,
but the whole city of Wichita does. Wichita was like, they came correct. They were like, people were like, I was it thrilled.
They
was,
were waiting yeah. for crab. They're That's like, why everyone makes the argument that like, why would she open a crab? Because they did that on My Favorite Murder where they were like, oh, can you believe she would open a crab restaurant in Midwest? And I'm like, yes, I can, because you act like people in the Midwest don't want to eat crab. Like, of course they do. And there's a place now for
and
them
it's
to
fresh
eat crab.
Frozen. Don't worry.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
They
okay?
have five different sauces. You know, yeah. they've got honey. They've That's got right. lemon, garlic,
yeah,
spicy.
They're fucking doing it right. Yeah. They give you a bib, I'm sure.
Mm. Yeah. yeah. I mean, the tables, they were tablecloths are it. Checkered. They're making money. They're killing it.
Hand
they've
over
got
fist.
A staff. They've got everything going on. They interviewed a couple of the employees or whatever. They were like, yeah, it was just like really busy. Like Mickey was really cool, but he never wanted to be in any of the pictures or anything like that.
Guys, suspect. I'm sorry.
It wasn't about him, though. You know what I mean?
If Christina were to bring somebody around us
who didn't want to be in the
pictures, and he was like, no, don't. Don't you take a picture of him? He's like, can I have your camera?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
are you married or what? Yeah. 100. Immediately. That's what I'm thinking. So. They're like a little like suspect of him, but so they track him down. They're like calling the Crab Kings like, is Mickey here? And he's like, no, he is not here anymore. They're like, he was just here 2 days ago. He dipped.
Yeah.
He emptied the bank account for the restaurant. Paychecks bounce. Whole thing is just like.
So he is making out with some money.
He is
but
making
it's not
out,
like,
but it's not a ton.
It's not like he's going after rich
it's
women.
Enough to get into his next grift.
That's how he's getting away with it, because he's not going after rich women who have like overprotective family members who are like, no, I'm getting my wealth.
Or lawyers or like an ability to fight him back. Because
that's right.
These women, like, he cleans them out. Yeah. He fucks their credit beyond repair. Like one woman had to borrow money from the Jean. Had to borrow money from her family just to file for bankruptcy. Mm. That's how bad it was. So yeah, I mean, he just now happy
so
ending
he
to
takes
that
in,
story.
The weird thing
money.
Is though is that he's like, this is your dream, and I'm going to help you make your dream come true.
Right, and
it's
then
so fucking weird.
Well, that's what makes somebody vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all want to believe. In our dreams, like we want to believe
we
that
all
we can
want
have
a fast
these things,
casual
right?
seafood restaurant.
Of course,
we all do.
You know what? I hope you find your fast casual seafood restaurant for your life. But like, if for real, like I feel like he preys on that, and then he takes enough money to get onto his next grift, right?
Correct.
Like not
right.
so much that's like noticeable, but enough to make him look like he's living a normal, comfortable
it's
life.
It's got to be more. For me, like, it has to be more about the manipulation and the control. Because the other thing that comes out is, like, once he does get married or engaged to a woman, they all said is, like, a switch went off. Mm-hmm. He becomes incredibly controlling with them. Who are you calling on your phone? Like at all hours of the day, you have to text him back immediately, like, everything. So it's just this – it seemed to me this weird narcissistic control thing. Like, I can bend people to my will and get them to do whatever I want. And then once they do, he's up and gone. He's like –
yeah.
It's the pain that he inflicts, too, that I think he gets off on. Because I do think he's a very, very small – little person.
100.
And so this is how he feels powerful, because once you see pictures of him, you've never seen a more mediocre looking motherfucker in your life. There's
He's
nothing
average
nothing about him that is special So he is the opposite of Bella from Twilight. Oh. He's not special or unique or anything. So, okay, they've tracked him down there, but he's already disappeared. So he's off to the next. He tried to put the moves on one of his employees there after 3 days, like texting her, like, I love you, blah, 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 like wall of text. She's showing the phone and doing this. Text.
Okay, yeah. I just got a picture of this man.
Now, that's the best looking picture of him.
That is the best looking picture.
Because if you see it, if you scroll down and see his mugshot.
Okay. I mean, here's the deal. Yeah, he's not in like a terrible looking person. He's a very unassuming looking person.
Right.
Very he's a average. Very average. He's not hot. He's not like, yeah, there's nothing interesting.
Dude, but when they interview him in prison.
Yeah. It's
that's a bad mugshot.
It's not good. So they're like, oh my God, all right, where would he go next? Well, they find that he has an admirer or like a long-term supporter named Lee who lives in Knoxville, Tennessee.
That's Carla, by the way.
Fuck sure, yeah, sure Carla.
Oh yeah.
Badass bitch.
Yes. So Lee, they go and interview her, is just like it's actually really sad. It's very obvious that she has a very bad addiction with alcohol, painkillers, that sort of thing. Like, it's visible on her face and with her behavior.
Her actions.
So Lee has kind of like taken him in and has made her part of the family. Like, her dad is really close to him and stuff. So through all this investigation, they find out he's been basically like staying in her dad Oscar's boat, and he's gotten a job at an RV place. I'm like, how is this motherfucker getting jobs too? Right. Also, who's like hiring this guy?
Because he clearly, like, I think that that's what makes me watch these things is like,
it's the charisma.
These people have a certain it factor that is impossible to put your finger on, like where that comes from or why people
fall for
it.
They're probably vampires.
But you're absolutely right. But that's what makes it interesting to me is that like there is something here that's almost supernatural. And I don't mean that in the vampire werewolf kind of way, but it's unexplainable.
Right.
Well, it also to me made me sad because you see, you know, what he looks like now, and they show a barrage of women that he's pulled over, the wool over their eyes, and they don't all look alike or whatever, but in a way they do, in that it is, you know, a middle-aged woman who's lonely. And that is what really got me and got me really emotional, like the first episode where I was just like, these are just like, and that's why I wrote down the first line is, I want to be wanted. And I feel like it's such a universal statement of wanting to be seen, wanting to be special, wanting to be someone's eternal soulmate.
It could happen to you.
It could happen to you.
Your dream is coming true. The thing that you've always been promised your whole life, this fairy tale is coming real.
Yeah. And so like preying on that desire that we all have, it's just, I think, is one of the most evil things. So even though there's no murder, you murder something so human in us. You know, that I feel it's so evil. But so the noose is tightening around him in Knoxville. They know Lee. They know his parents. They're starting to survey him. Meanwhile, this motherfucker's got two Stephanies and a Lisa in Knoxville.
Like, two Stephanies, huh? I feel like that's
two
just
Stephanies and a Lisa.
You know, I'm just like that. Oh.
I love that band.
Two Stephanies and a Lisa.
Juggling people already. I feel like I'm not set up for it personally. Like, I don't have the bandwidth to be able to do that. And does having two Stephanies make it easier or harder? Exactly. You can like say the wrong name and it's fine, or like what?
But they're on him before he does any more damage to any more women. They finally like corner him in a Dillard's.
In a Dillard's, you're gonna go down in a Dillard's restroom.
In a Dillard's parking lot.
Oh, a parking lot. Yeah. Oh my God.
So they arrest him. They get to go to court, and it's packed with women. It's packed.
How terrified do you think he was? Was he like shitting his pants when he saw all the ladies there?
He has this weird twitch. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like Robert Durst kind of.
I'm telling you, when I said it is like watching Robert Durst, the dead eyes.
Yeah.
The fucking black
shark eyes.
Yeah. So full. Nothing, just a couple twitches now and then. But the judge sentences him to the max amount for violating his probation, which is 6 months, which is a victory for these women that they were even able to get him in jail at all. But yes, 6 months is what he got. And for violating his probation. And then
you can't get him on any kind of like financial crimes. What the fuck?
Marriages, no. all those weddings.
That's what I was shouting at the TV, because I was like, bigamy is fucking illegal.
That's right. That's right.
But no lawyers. That's the thing, is that going through and reading like the comments on the blog, which I did a fucking deep dive on, nobody's like hired a lawyer, and no lawyer really wants to take on this case. It's just minutia. It's not, you know, nobody's prosecuting it.
That they are hoping that if nothing else, they're just getting his face out there to stop him.
Yes.
I think that's what they're hoping.
That was the biggest goal, is the publicity, to just make it so that, I mean, you cannot Google like Scott Smith now without any alias or whatever, even though he has, you know, 10 social security numbers and a whole bunch of different aliases and like 43 different phone numbers.
The fact that he does should also be criminal.
That's what I was going to say. Is that not a crime that you're, is that not fraud? I don't understand.
Exactly.
Like, why can't you prosecute him on that? I don't know. Okay.
And that's like, that's the other depressing part of this story, is just how easy it is to get away with these romance cons, and how little repercussions, and how much our justice system just is still not designed to help women, you know, like, through abuse, whether it be emotional or physical. Justice system just is not here to help you out. But silver lining, like, these women that banded together, like, your friends will help you out. Your friends and Carla, of course. Get yourself a Carla. But so it ends with them surveilling him in a pool with the kid
and a new girlfriend.
His next girlfriend.
Fucking kidding me?
Nope.
I feel like, can we not just, every time someone should, Carla should be on his ass following him everywhere he goes.
She really can't, because her jurisdiction, that was also part of the thing, is that she surveilled him into Knoxville, but she couldn't do anything about it because she...
No, I'm not saying you have to do anything as a private investigator or whatever, bounty hunter, but what you can do is you can, every single time he gets into a new relationship,
call that bitch up
every time.
That's what they've been doing. Yeah. That's what they've been doing. Right. They've managed to, like, even as recently as like last month, there was a comment that was like, oh my God, my sister was seeing him, and then we saw the billboards and blah blah blah. And so, like, it's happening.
That's
that
what
he's not going to be able to escape that infamy. And the other thing that I that's just like the biggest thing that I'm just like, so many of these women, you know, were going about their like day to day lives, but the friendship that they were able to form, and this that to me, I think, was the biggest part of Love Fraud that I love to see, is these women finding strength and solace and healing together, like battling this demon of a fucking person, because they do end it with a prison interview. Because of course you can get a narcissist to talk, you know, like, oh, give us your side of the story or whatever. And it is every bit of the Jinx that you want to see. Oh, it is.
I loved the Jinx. I really did. So I should watch this.
Yeah. You would really enjoy it, because he's one of the scariest people I've ever seen. And I'm actually shocked that he hasn't like murdered somebody.
Maybe he wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, so good. Go check it out. Love Fraud on, well, it's Showtime. Yeah. But definitely worth it. Get your free 7-day trial and binge that in the Comey Rule, which is also really good. So,
Jesus.
Exactly. Yoinks.
Well, what have y'all been watching?
Yesterday, besides watching Twilight, and all of the subs,
all the Twilights, every Twilight that exists.
Yeah.
Except for New Moon.
I watched the Fresh Prince reunion.
Oh.
And damn, was I weeping, openly weeping and sobbing when they were talking about Uncle Phil?
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, Uncle Phil.
Full. Oh, my God. Just, wow. I just, and the original Viv, Aunt Viv, OG Aunt Viv is my Aunt Viv.
New Aunt Viv doesn't hold a candle.
Just can't. No. Really, like, it's just not the same. It's just not the same. But for me, like, it really just put I don't know. It's like, I didn't realize like how much that show was such a part of like
me too. My life. It was huge for me, man. Like, I watched that.
You should totally watch it.
And I watched it on Nick at Night.
Oh yeah.
After it was on, you know, when I started to get older, it amazing. Like, that show, it meant a lot. There was that era in the 90s for like Black families where we got like a certain number. Unfortunately, one of them was the Cosby Show. Then there's Fresh Prince, there's Family Matters, Sister Sister. Like, we had these like vital kind of like shows, and Fresh Prince was one of the first. And
the great
thing
about them, though, is that they weren't, I don't know how to say this, they weren't like a Madea movie where it felt like it wasn't for everyone. These were for everyone. And so everybody got to see, like, not that Madea movie isn't. What my point being is that it felt like it was everybody for everyone, right? Like, everybody could enjoy it. And the good thing about that was that it felt like it normalized something that maybe wasn't normal for people who grew up in towns who didn't see Black families. And especially families that had wealth, Black families with wealth, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that they dealt with a lot of issues that were specific to Black families, but they, because of the way that it was presented in a way that could be digestible for everybody.
That's right. That's
because,
my,
because for,
that was way better than the way I said
but
it.
I know exactly. I knew exactly what you were trying to say. Yeah. And that is true. And I think that that's why shows, and, you know, yes, there are, obviously we can look back with hindsight and there are problems, but it's the same kind of thing that the Cosby Show did. Right. And it's why those shows were so important. It was important for Black people to see themselves that way.
Yeah.
It was important for issues that were specific to Black families to be discussed openly in a way that, like, other people who weren't from that culture could see and absorb it.
Right.
And like, that's why they're groundbreaking. And like, you might look at it and just be like, it's such a silly,
it's a silly
family show or whatever, but it that's why they were like such big deals. Yeah. At the time. Yeah. I will definitely watch it.
Oh, it was
I
want to
watch
it too.
For sure. For sure.
I legitimately was just like, the Uncle Phil shit. Like, I just, it hit me in a place I wasn't expecting. And
he
just
felt like an uncle to me.
For
he did.
Real.
Right.
Like, I was literally just, I'm sitting in my bed watching the show, like, just fucking sobbing to tears.
He looks so much like my dad. He looks like my dad looks like that. So it's like, it's almost weird because, like, I feel the same way about him that I feel about Roseanne for my mom, because they look so similar that sometimes it's like a very, like, visceral thing when I watch it. So I watched Mandalorian, finally. The Baby Yoda hype is real. That thing is cute as fuck. I'm mad it doesn't exist in real life.
Whoever
like, we put
did
a man
that.
On the moon, why don't we have, like, a Teddy Ruxpin fucking version
it's
of Baby Yoda?
The cutest.
Don't we? I feel like we should.
I know. I'm like, they're missing the mark. How much money would you spend to get a Teddy Ruxpin version of Baby Yoda?
I mean, $0, because I wouldn't actually want that, but I feel like there is our people who
there's a
would.
Market.
There
there's
is
a
market for
yes,
it.
Yes, so there is.
I'm shocked it doesn't exist.
And you really do. I feel like because the hype was so real at this time last year that I feel like you can think, like, maybe it's overhyped, and then you watch it and you're like, oh no, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
And it's also an enjoyable show.
I just want to let you, you know, like, give you a warning.
Yeah.
Like a little heads up, dude from Bosch is going to be in season 2.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Christina, Christina confessed that she'd actually seen a few episodes of Bosch a while back and kept that a secret from us because she didn't like the lead guy and we did not want to encourage
she's wrong.
Cassie's wrath.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. No, it is a good show, and I have a tendency of I am persnickety in that sometimes things that everybody likes, I just will not
watch.
Did
I hype it too much?
I intentionally don't watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, ugh, everybody likes that. Yeah. Or whatever.
Not, but that's the thing about Bosch. I feel like everybody's sleeping on it. Like, I feel like nobody knows about this show. That's why I think I've given it so much hype, because I think I've probably given it way more hype than it deserves, just because I feel like everybody's sleeping on it.
There I'll be the tiebreaker. I will watch it and let you guys know how I feel. But I mentioned this briefly on the last episode, but I didn't really talk about it in depth. We have binged all of The Undoing. We are getting ready to watch the finale.
Okay.
Today, the day we're recording, because we're recording in advance, today is the day that the finale comes out. So tonight we will be watching the finale. It is really good.
Okay.
It is really good. It's beautifully shot.
I love Nicole Kidman.
She's great. I will say the issues that I briefly touched on last episode, I stand by in that, like, there, and this is my own bias, I'm sure, but there is just something about, like, watching rich people do stuff where you're just like, ugh. And you will really hate Hugh Grant. You're supposed to, but, like, goddamn, like, you
that's a hard pill to swallow.
Hating Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
He's an asshole. Like, and he's one of those, like con men, kind of, like, charming. Like, he's charming, and, like, he thinks he can get away with everything because he's so charming, and you still don't know which way. Like, we're on the end. We're on the last episode, and I'm still not sure, like, which way it's going to go. So, it's good. I would recommend watching it. If you like a bit of a courtroom drama, a bit
I love courtroom dramas.
A bit of a mystery. If you want to see, like, a 50-year-old woman, Nicole Kidman, have absolutely no wrinkles whatsoever and have feelings about that.
I have feelings already. I don't need to watch it.
Please give it a watch. And the performances, if you guys watch it, and if anybody listening at home has seen it, they'll know what I'm talking about. The lawyer they hire for Hugh Grant is flawless. Like, I've never seen this woman in anything before, but I'm like, give that woman all the awards. Like, she's just so understated and great. Like, she's great. The acting is great. Donald Sutherland is terrifying. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So awesome.
Give it a watch.
I still think we need to Patreon live stream Cats.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Christina went and watched Cats without us, without letting us know.
I got tipsy on wine.
I want to watch that so bad.
Oh, well.
Guys, if we get drunk and watch it together, prepare for me to sing all the songs.
All the songs. I will 100. Me too.
Cassie and I will reenact.
Mr.
Yeah, we're gonna reenact every single song and dance number.
I retract my statement.
Nope, you committed. you committed. Guys heard it. You heard it here. We're doing it.
Oh my God. Yeah. The Andrew Lloyd Webber is not for everybody, but memories.
How do you feel about Starlight Express?
Oh Lord. Oh my God. How do you feel about Joseph? Joseph.
And this Technicolor raincoat.
Oh my God.
I actually don't know any of the words for any of those songs.
I don't think it was a raincoat. It was a
dream coat. Dream coat.
Well, if you guys have shows that we should watch, stories to tell, go to our one-stop shoppable website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers! Cheers.